I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This morning with a Fox News alert, the long-awaited Jeffrey Epstein court documents are now unsealed, and several prominent figures are referenced.
Yup, it includes former president like Bill Clinton, as well as celebrities and business leaders.
Many of the people named, including Clinton, have not been accused of wrongdoing, but the documents are answering some questions about Epstein's web of associates and famous friends.
Brooke Singman joins us now with the sordid details. Brooke.
Good morning, guys. A federal judge releasing nearly 200 names that were previously redacted from hundreds of court documents filed in a since-settled defamation lawsuit, which was brought by one of Epstein's accusers against Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, former President Bill Clinton is one of the biggest names here, and the documents detail his personal relationship with Epstein, including four trips Clinton took on Epstein's private plane in the early 2000s.
Now, that is a report from Fox News. You did not hear Trump's name mentioned in that report. That's Fox. I'm going to let you hear another source in a moment where Trump's name will be mentioned, but I'm going to put it as I said when testifying before Congress, the presidents of Harvard, the University of Pennsylvania, and MIT. I'm going to put it into context because they would love to just throw the name in and walk away. It's like walking into a room, dropping a grenade and walking out and shutting the door behind you. You don't care about the carnage and what happens. You're clear. You're free. But yes, the Jeffrey Epstein documents being released. And there are a lot of names in there, and these are just some of the documents they've released. Let me point something out very quickly, and I'll probably reinforce it as we move through this hour and the second hour. There are redactions still inside some of the documents. Now, one source I've read said that Clinton did not mind having his name in there and said, go ahead and put my name in. I don't care. He could have opted to say, I want to keep it out. Some apparently are trying to do so, keep their names out for whatever reason. This association smears you. And then there are others that may have more concerning reasons. But here's my take on redactions on these documents about the, and I'll call him alleged pedophile, Jeffrey Epstein at this time, and his partner, Ghislaine Maxwell. In my opinion, the only redactions that should be made in these documents are the victims, the young women, and boys, if they were involved, that were taken there for sexual escapades with adults. Their names are the only ones that should be redacted. And then you can give them a pseudonym or victim A, victim B, whatever you want to do. But the names of those who were on that island and involved in all of this, those names should not be taken out for whatever reason. We got a lot to cover, and we're going to get to it for you. Here we are. January 4, 2024. Wasn't it just a year ago we said January 4? Oh, yeah, Larry, it was 1 year ago. But this time it's 2024. Glad to have you with us. We are on the air for 2 hours, Monday through Friday, right here for you, from 6 to 8 p.m. Every Monday through Friday. And when we're on the air, we're also streaming video for you. You can see and watch the program. That's at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, and also at News Talk STL, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble. And if you miss anything, video or audio, or you want to go back and pull it up and listen again, or you want to listen and then share it with others, which I always encourage you to share, cost you nothing, and you're enlightening others that get your message, and they're brought up to speed on what's really happening, and not just information from the, as I call it, the state-controlled media. You simply go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and you'll find, quote, podcast, video, and or audio of everything we do. All right, so let's go back to these documents that have now been brought forward. And I'm pointing out to you again, more are yet to come. There is a quote in one that appears regarding Clinton. I'm going to break it down for you in more details in a moment. But there's a reason when I break it down, I urge caution lights. Caution lights. So that was a Fox report we began with. Let's continue with the Fox report commenting still on the documents that have been released.
In the deposition, one victim was also asked, did Jeffrey ever talk to you about Bill Clinton? She answered, quote, he said one time that Clinton likes them young, referring to girls. Now, Clinton appears over 70 times in the first release of documents. And in a deposition, another Epstein victim, Virginia Joffrey, said Maxwell told her that she and Clinton flew in a helicopter to Epstein's private island. He's previously said he has never visited Epstein's homes and had no knowledge of his crimes. Disgraced Prince Andrew also was mentioned in detail in these documents. According to Maxwell, the prince made a trip to Epstein's compound as well. And another major revelation was made about magician David Copperfield, who allegedly performed magic tricks for Epstein and several of his victims during a dinner at Epstein's New York City apartment in 2016. Now, again, the people named in these documents are not accused of crimes, and many, like former President Trump, have been cleared of wrongdoing.
So they did add Trump at that point, but cleared of wrongdoing. And they mentioned how many times Clinton appeared in the documents. But the key thing is she was pointing out in that report, and again, that's from Fox News, stating that one person told another, Clinton likes them young, talking about children, or at least those minors, women under the age. But did he actually say that? See, here's the key that you've got to keep in mind on all of this up to this point. A lot of this is hearsay. It's hearsay that Clinton was on the island, according to many. But yet there are documents that might indicate, no, he was actually on the island. And there might be pictures showing that, yes, he was on the island. We'll come to that in a moment, and as more documents come out. And the David Copperfield at Epstein's home in New York doing magic tricks at his home. Well, now, yes, there could have been other kinds of, quote, tricks being done at his home with some of these same victims who claimed they were on the island and were basically mauled by sexual predators, grown men. But David Copperfield also could have done magic tricks like he made himself disappear from the island. I don't know. That is all Fox is reporting. Now let's take another look at it from a different view from ABC with George Stephanopoulos and some of their reporters on the Jeffrey Epstein.
The first 40 of about 275 previously secret documents have been released now. And while much of what's in them has been known before, they do contain some new details about an old groping accusation against Prince Andrew and an effort to depose former President Bill Clinton.
This morning, newly unsealed court records reinforce the association of presidents, even the king of pop, with Jeffrey Epstein, the sex offender who killed himself in a New York City jail while awaiting trial. The documents were part of a long-settled defamation lawsuit one of Epstein's victims, Virginia Giuffre, filed against his former paramour, Ghislaine Maxwell. The documents include arguments by Giuffre's lawyers, who sought testimony from former President Bill Clinton, calling him a key person who can provide information about his close relationship with Maxwell and Mr. Epstein. Giuffre never accused Clinton of wrongdoing, but claimed she had dinner with him on Epstein's private Caribbean island. Maxwell called that a lie, and the documents show her attorney said each and every part of plaintiff's claims regarding President Clinton has conclusively been proven false. Clinton was never deposed. After Epstein's arrest, his spokesman denied Clinton was ever on the island.
So again, we have Clinton was never on the island. Well, there are logs that show that supposedly he was a passenger on a couple of the flights that went to the island. But then again, was he on there? Did someone just write it down? Again, we have to see more information. But I want to add something. While you could not see that ABC report, what they did near the end, they've already mentioned, of course, in that ABC report, Epstein, Clinton, the Prince, and others, and the pop star was Michael Jackson. They showed his picture. And they also talked about relationships Epstein had with presidents, Clinton won, and right beside him was Trump. By innuendo, Trump was also involved in sexual escapades on the island. They just put his picture up beside Clinton. Now, Clinton has denied anything. So has Trump. And they don't mind putting the pictures up together, though, because if it makes you think, maybe there's a little bit more to that. And again, a lot of this information is coming from Virginia Giuffre, who was trying to depose Clinton as part of her defamation lawsuit against Ghislaine Maxwell, his associate. So here's the added information regarding her.
Giuffre claims she was a teen sex slave for Epstein and directed by him and Maxwell to have sex with powerful men, as she described in a 2019 interview with the Miami Herald.
The training started immediately, how to be quiet, be subservient, give Jeffrey what he wants. A lot of this training came from Ghislaine herself.
Giuffre claimed Epstein ordered her to have sex on three occasions with Britain's Prince Andrew, which he has denied. He said he could not recall meeting her, and he told the BBC,
"This photo of the two of them could be fake.
I have absolutely no memory of that photograph ever being taken."
Andrew settled a lawsuit with Giuffre in 2022. The documents include testimony from Johanna Joberg, one of Epstein's accusers, who said she was seated next to Giuffre at Epstein's New York City mansion when Andrew groped her breast. But when asked, "Do you have any knowledge about whether Virginia is telling the truth about whether Ghislaine Maxwell directed her to have sex with Prince Andrew?" Joberg answered, "No, only based on what I've read in the media." When asked about meeting other famous people, she said she met Michael Jackson at Epstein's house in Palm Beach. And when she was asked, "Did you ever massage Donald Trump?" Schoberg responded, "No."
Oh, no. Now, again, all of that, if you listen to it, is hearsay. Easy to deny. So far. I want to take you back to another denial that we were getting from Bill Clinton himself. January 28, 1998.
"But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you."
And applause. And in fact, Hillary followed him out applauding as he was addressing his staff and the press. And what did happen then? Well, then we had evidence, that stain on the dress. Now, yesterday, House Speaker Mike Johnson led 60 House members to see the border firsthand if they hadn't been there. Later, he appeared on CNN with Jake Tapper. Listen to how Jake Tapper sets his the Biden agenda up.
"I presume you're seeing a very dire situation, hardworking border agents, who can't do their jobs with what they have. They need more money. They need more colleagues. They need more beds for asylum seekers. They need more funding. How come the House has not yet touched this $14 billion supplemental request from the Biden administration? The White House is hammering you on it. Why not take it up and help these individuals?"
Absolutely. Why aren't you helping? You're not helping, Speaker Johnson. You're not helping. See how he put that in play? Let's continue with Johnson in the response.
"What the White House is proposing is more money to process and allow more illegals into the country. We need to do the opposite of that. And this is, you don't need to take my word for it. Listen to the deputy chief of the U.S. Border Patrol, who was with us last night, and he told us in his own words, he said, 'It's as if I'm at an open fire hydrant. I don't need more buckets to dump the water.' He said, 'I need to turn the flow off. This catastrophe can come to an end if the Biden administration will do its job, and they've refused to do it. They're doing the opposite."
So the $14 billion, there are, you're right, 1,600 asylum officers that would be part of that to speed up processing of asylum claims. That's what you're talking about. But there also would be 1,300 more Border Patrol agents to work alongside the 20,200, and also funding to hire 1,000 custom and border protection officers with a focus on counter fentanyl. So it's not all, in fact, most of it is not related to processing asylum seekers. A lot of it has to do with what you're talking about.
Jake, the president should come to the border. What an idea that would be. He should talk to the Border Patrol agents who are down here.
I think he went last year, just FYI.
Yeah, well, he went for a photo op. He should come and spend a couple of days like we have to be with the people here on the ground who are fighting this war on the border. That's effectively what it is.
It is a war on the border, and yes, he did go to the border and saw a sanitized version of the border. You don't need more people. Shut the damn border. That's how you start doing it. But Mayorkas continues to defend what he's doing. But he also admits we do have an issue building.
We need additional personnel to advance our security at the border. We need technology to advance our fight against fentanyl. We need additional asylum officers to really accelerate the asylum adjudication process so people are not waiting 6 years before they receive their results, which is, in effect, a pull factor. The fact that people can stay here for 6 years before their asylum case is adjudicated is a powerful example of how broken our immigration system is and has been for so long. We have a backlog of cases of about 3 million in immigration court proceedings. That has been building year over year over year for decades now.
And why do you think it's been building more and more and more lately, now up to 10 years away? Because of Biden open border policy. And, of course, Texas Governor Abbott has tried to say, well, you were also going to put razor wire up, and he's being sued by the federal government. Razor wire is dangerous.
You saw what happened 4 years ago when we had the lowest illegal immigration in 40 years, and that's because President Trump put into place four policies: the Remain in Mexico policy, the Title 42 policy, the end of catch and release, and building the border wall. When Biden came in, he changed all of that, and he created a climate, quite literally, that attracted people from across the entire world from more than 150 countries. Texas is the only government in the United States of America that's stepping up, trying to stop illegal immigration by building our own border wall, by putting up the razor wire. And by the way, Joe Biden is also challenging me in the United States Supreme Court right now, Sean, trying to tear down the razor wire that Texas put up to stop illegal immigration. Joe Biden has spent no time trying to stop illegal immigration. He's only spent time trying to stop Texas from stopping illegal immigration.
Yeah, and the White House is saying the razor wire is dangerous to the Border Patrol agents. It's not bothering them. I have a solution. The Rio Grande is fresh water. The Rio Grande is fresh water. My solution, go to Governor DeSantis, say, send us some alligators over here. Let's put them into the Rio Grande. That'll keep you out of the water, won't it? They'll live. They'll thrive. I don't want anyone to be hurt, but just the threat of an alligator, that's going to keep you out of the water. Next hour, the House is moving forward to impeach Mayorkas, but coming up next, how Biden White House is making Americans targets. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C, and it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails, and of course Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton, and I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. It's stupid on the door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. It's stupid on the door. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This also just in from the State Department, General, and I'll get your response to this. The U.S. remains incredibly concerned about the risk of the Gaza conflict spreading to other fronts. To what degree are you concerned that that will eventually happen, General?
Well, you know, it's stunning to me, that statement, because it already has happened. Isn't it a fact that the Iranian-backed militias in Iraq and Syria have attacked our bases scores of times since the October 7th attack? Isn't it a fact that the Houthi rebels sponsored by the Iranians have shut down virtually 50% of the traffic flowing through the Suez Canal because they're conducting attacks on the shipping lanes despite the escort ships there by the United States? The Iranians have expanded the conflict.
The Iranians have expanded the conflict. That was four-star general retired Jack King saying, what do you mean the word it might expand the conflict? Hasn't it already? Well, of course it has. October 7, we have Hamas going across the buffer zone and into Israel, the southern part, and attacking and killing innocent civilians. And in some cases, they did encounter some of the IDF forces scattered thin as they were around the area, which is, to this day, there are questions as to how were they that vulnerable. And even Prime Minister Netanyahu said, we're going to have to deal with that once we resolve our battle and the war is over. And there will be some folks having to give some tough answers as to why we got so lax along our border with a country filled with people who hate us. But October 7 was the start point. And, of course, right after that, President Biden came out and made it very clear, I stand with Israel. And I warned you, I told you repeatedly, I said, you watch. He says that now, but watch how the daylight between him and the prime minister gets wider and wider and wider until we're now the U.S. is still saying, oh, we stand with them, but can you guys back off the bombing of Gaza a little bit? You know, haven't you killed enough already? They have killed uncounted numbers of Hamas terrorists. They've also killed thousands of Palestinians, civilians. That would include children, women, and men who were not part of Hamas. They were controlled by Hamas, for the last 10 years. But that's not what they wanted. And, of course, all the kids are being indoctrinated to hate every Jew and to hate Israel. But they're not actively taking part in any actions. They're just living their lives the best they can. But Hamas decided we're going to make a statement to the world, and hopefully more Muslims will step forward and go after Jews everywhere. And that's why we've had increased security at various synagogues around our nation and around the world. And Jewish people have reason to be concerned. You never know when somebody coming up, they don't have to look dark-skinned, they don't have to look Muslim, they could be white and just simply hate Jews, and they're going to use this as a reason to attack. So there's a good reason to have good security. But the other thing Biden said in those opening days, anyone who's thinking of taking advantage of what Hamas just did, I have one word for you. Don't. In other words, saying, don't try to take advantage of this. Stay out of it. Do not try to widen the conflict. And yet, again, as you heard from that Fox report talking to the retired four-star general Jack King, the State Department issuing a statement saying, we're worried that the situation might widen. And Jack King, he was very composed since he didn't laugh out loud. He just kind of chuckled like almost sarcastically, like, what's the concern here? They've already been doing it. And yes, they have. They've had more than 100 strikes across the region, many targeting U.S. forces or some of our allies in the area. And, of course, Houthi rebels down in Yemen firing upon ships trying to either enter or leave the Red Sea, going into the Gulf of Aden and then into the Indian Ocean. And we have now taken one of our carrier groups that was there and sent it back to Virginia. Maybe it was needed, I don't know, in the sense it had to be retooled. I don't know. But we only have one there now, and I liked it better when both were in the region. But again, General Jack King says the Hezbollah group, which is primarily centered north of Israel and has been firing rockets into parts of Israel, the northern section, so they have capability to strike all the way from where they are all the way into Tel Aviv. And their weapons are much more precise than what Hamas has. But Jack King says they haven't done that so far. But if you're concerned about widening, there's a lot of options still on the table.
The Iranians have expanded the conflict. Certainly Hezbollah is attacking northern Israel. It's been measured. Their center of gravity is the thousands, tens of thousands of rockets and missiles they have that can reach any city in Israel. They have held back from that. And listening to Nasrallah's speech earlier today, the head of Hezbollah in Lebanon, I think he will continue to be measured and not escalate to the scale that he certainly has the capability to do, which certainly would be a significant challenge for the Israelis. But the Iranians have already escalated, and for the life of me, I don't know why we keep wringing our hands about the Iranians and are so feared by the fact that they will escalate if we take decisive action against them. I've never seen anything quite like it, that this administration is so unwilling to confront who the major oppressor and aggressor is in the region, Iran, and the fact that they are pulling all the strings here.
They are pulling all the strings. We know they are. They're giving money to their proxy terrorists, Hezbollah, Hamas, and others. That would include ISIS, by the way, and the Taliban. And, of course, China is the overlord of Iran, basically, at this point. And there were sanctions against Iran to make sure they didn't get any more money under the Trump administration, shutting down any oil exports out of Iran. One of the first things Biden did was lift the export sanctions, let them ship their oil. And in return, they're going to make a lot of money. And Biden thought, I guess we can be good friends with Iran. You're an idiot. You're not going to be friends with a terrorist. And I've documented for you before, Iran currently is selling 1 million barrels a day to China and has been for at least the last 10-plus months. Do the ciphering. That's a lot of money. Then they can throw it throughout the terrorist organizations. Now, we had a funeral the other day where there was an explosion and a lot of concern about who was responsible. And the Iranian Supreme Leader, Khomeini, vowing, quote, a harsh response to what happened Wednesday. They were having an anniversary of the 2020 assassination of the Iranian General Soleimani. And the attack killed at least 84, been numbers of 100 or more. But they're saying now 84 being revised down, but more than 280 wounded. The U.S. has denied any involvement. And they also say we have no reason to believe Israel was involved. Israel is saying we have no comment. There were two bombings just minutes apart, 500 miles from Iran's capital city. The first was to kill anyone attending the morning and the gathering at that point. The second bomb timed to kill those who came to their aid. Typical terrorist action. First one 700 yards from his grave as they rushed away. 20 minutes later, as they're trying to use streets to get out, another bomb. Now, you know who's coming forward and claiming responsibility? Well, I have a report that says a group is. But before we get to that, let's go back to General Jack King on who could be responsible for those explosions.
We don't know, I think. We're just speculating who's involved here. I doubt seriously that the Israelis are involved. I mean, they, in working with resistance groups, and by the way, Sandra, it's not well known by the American people how much the resistance groups in Iran have been assisting the Israelis with the assassination of 4 to 5 scientists and nuclear leaders, military leaders as well, and then that very dramatic operation raid on a warehouse in 2018 led by the Israelis, but much of the troops on the ground pulling out 2 tons of archived information on the nuclear stuff was done by the resistance group. But it's uncharacteristic of what we're seeing here. They have blown up infrastructure in the past, but the IDF and the resistance groups inside of Iran have not blown up people. Who have done that are the Sunni terrorists, who may likely have a hand in this, being they so fundamentally disagree with the Shia-led government in Iran. But we're just speculating here, and I think eventually we'll know who did it.
Eventually we will know who did it. Now, let me break this down for you in the last minute we have of this segment. New word out. First of all, Syria had also claimed that we were responsible. But you have Sunnis and Shias fighting against each other. Now, ISIS is coming forward and claiming it's responsible for those suicide bomb attacks at the memorial in Iran. ISIS is primarily Sunni. Those Iranians are primarily Shia, just as you were hearing Jack King say. So ISIS is now saying, we did it, and we're proud we did it. So if they are correct, that deflects anything from the U.S. and or from Israel, and even from Syria, although maybe some of the ISIS came out of Syria. Coming up, do you remember Charlemagne Lagarde saying, I voted for Biden and Harris? Not again. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, we are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation. I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Vincent's Jewelers carries a full selection of lab-grown diamonds and jewelry containing lab-grown diamonds. Lab-grown diamonds are a great alternative to natural mined diamonds. They have the same physical, chemical characteristics of a traditional diamond, beauty, durability you want, but at a 70 to 90% discount. See them in person at Vincent's and at vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com, locally owned.
This is News Talk STL.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times have I prayed?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
What we saw happen on October 7th, what we saw happen in Afghanistan, where 13 Americans killed, the Chinese spy balloon, these things are all connected by dictators, authoritarian regimes that do not fear the United States of America, that President Biden has allowed such an accelerated rate of decay of our deterrence that we had built up in the 4 years that President Trump and I were serving has really done the American people a disservice, and it is dangerous.
The administration has got to look at this coldly and reset their strategy. We have placated and appeased Iran ever since they came into power in 21, and none of that has worked. The Iranians obviously are on the march. They see this administration as weak, and they see a lack of political will in the United States to confront them and our adversaries. Therefore, they feel there's a vulnerability in the United States, and this is opportunity. And they are seizing the opportunity, and we're wringing our hands.
We're wringing our hands while our enemy is seizing the opportunity. The words of retired four-star General Jack King, preceded by former Secretary of State Pompeo, saying about when we left with the Trump administration, things were tapped down. We were making progress. We were getting respect from the international community and even our enemies. They may not have wanted to give us respect, but they thought we better not step out of line with this guy. With Biden, they saw Obama too. Remember when they first went into Ukraine? When Russia first invaded Crimea? That was on Obama's watch. Did they invade anywhere else when Trump came in? No, they didn't. Did they rattle sabers in China about Taiwan? They did, but did they do anything? No, they didn't. Did the North Korean leader continue firing missiles as he had? He did a few more, but he pretty much tapped that down as well. And, of course, we're not even talking about the terrorists that have come across our border from all these countries during the 3 years that Biden has had the open border. The numbers are all over the board, by the way. If you're trying to pin down how many illegals have come in, You know why they're all over it? Because no one has an accounting number. They have only those they have actually processed. And of that, that's 7, 8, maybe 9 million. It's still estimated maybe up to 12 million have entered our nation during the Obama administration. And the attitude of the White House is KJP, the White House spokeswoman, stands up there and says, it's just normal migration patterns. Normal my butt. It is not normal that 300,000, make that 302,000, came across our border in December only. That's not normal. Find me another month in December anywhere. Find me a month in any other year that has had that many. That's not normal. And you heard Mayorkas say a moment ago, part of it is the pool. The pool is they know if they get here, they're probably going to get to get in. Well, good God, man, you just recognize your own failings. Why aren't you doing something about it? Well, of course, he serves at the behest of the president. And Biden has no issue with it. Mayorkas is about to be impeached. We're going to get into that in more detail in the next hour. And that might also lead to an impeachment of Biden. Not reference Hunter Biden and everything else that he's connected with, but the fact that they have basically left our country defenseless and made every U.S. American citizen a target. You're down in Cancun having a good time? Good. I know some friends are down there. Would you imagine there might be some terrorists in Cancun? I would. Oh, you want to go to Rome for a vacation? Oh, good. Would you imagine there might be terrorists there? France? Japan? Finland? They all have taken the attitude, as you were hearing from Mike Pompeo and General King, this nation is vulnerable. We have no leader. We have no leader. And let me give you this take as to what Biden is doing regarding dealing with the terrorists we're facing right now, including the Houthis in Yemen. We're not striking Yemen directly. We could. We're just shooting down the missiles that they fired us. But we also have targets in Iran we could go take out some of their munitions facilities and everything, and we could take out some of their training camps. We're not touching Iran. That's what has retired General Jack King so upset. What do you mean they're thinking about expanding the war? They're already doing it. And what are we doing? We're just kind of swatting flies away. House Intel Committee ranking member said, I understand the Biden administration has been very careful on this front and so far successful at not letting what is a tragedy, but a tragedy largely limited to Gaza and Israel and the northern border with Israel, become a regional conflagration with lots of nation states involved. What I would suggest, and the Biden administration isn't necessarily asking my opinion, but what I would suggest that the guiding principle here is that nobody gets to escalate. And as a consequence, this member of Congress says, were I sitting in that Oval Office, I probably would have taken a more aggressive action against the Houthis. Starting there. Oh, Larry, you didn't tell us who this is. I told you it's a member of Congress. You heard that. I told you also that it's a House Intelligence Committee ranking member. Oh, you want the name. Oh, the name is Jim Himes. Does that help you? Oh, he's from Connecticut. Does that help you? No, he's not a Republican. He's a Democrat. This Democrat is saying, were I in the Oval Office, I probably would have taken a more aggressive action. I wonder if Biden got that message. He said, my hope is the Biden administration, perhaps by taking out launching sites in Yemen, is what he's talking about in particular, would send a very clear message, the world will not tolerate an expansion of this war, especially one that compromises freedom of navigation. But we're not doing that. And they're worried, as Jack King said, we're sitting around wringing our hands. Oh, my God, it might escalate. It might get out of control. It's already escalating. And it's not just over there. It's in this nation right now. In downtown Chicago, over New Year's weekend, there were pro-Palestinian protesters. But one TV station, the local Fox affiliate, took note of something. A lot of them were waving a Palestinian flag. Okay, it's a PLO organization, Free Palestine. Does not necessarily, if you say Free Palestine, doesn't mean from the river to the sea. But if you add that to it in advance, it does mean wipe out Israel, because Israel would not exist. Because they're talking about the River Jordan to the east of Israel, the Mediterranean Sea to the west. If you are all Palestinian, Israel doesn't exist anymore. And, of course, you're going to hear Palestinians say, the Jews have not been here except for 1948 when they declared their statehood, which, by the way, Missouri Governor Truman, president then, I said governor, Missourian Truman, president, was the first nation to acknowledge the state of Israel. But in Chicago the other day, while they were rallying in this downtown area calling for justice and a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war, there were chants of, what do we want? Justice. When do we want it? Now. That was all up and down Michigan Avenue. Palestinian flags in the air, shutting down I-90, I-94 temporarily. And, of course, among those calling for a ceasefire were those obviously on the side of Hamas, because they were also carrying a flag which had the image of Abu Abadah. He is basically one of the popular figures in the Arab Muslim world, often on Al Jazeera and other anti-Israeli networks. So they are basically, obviously, many times in a mask. So they're preserving, or rather, they're not just pushing the idea of Palestine needs to be, quote, free. They mean no Jews, no Israel control of Gaza. Israel gave the Gaza Strip to the Palestinians. They gave it to them and relocated some Jews who were located there. Said, you got to move out. We're turning all over to them. But then Hamas got control and built up what they have. And those in the streets in Chicago, they weren't just talking about free Palestine. They were promoting, advocating, endorsing, and maybe even encouraging more October 7 Hamas attacks. And not just in Israel, but right there in the streets of Chicago. I'd mentioned earlier, going into the break, Charlemagne Lagarde. Now, he is a radio talk show host. He is black. I point that out because it becomes an important part of the story coming up. And he admits that, yes, I voted for Biden and Harris. But now he says, I'm not going to vote for either one of them this time. That story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount. They pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community. I would love to see
you. Take a look at my record, man. I extended the voting rights 25 years. I have a record that is second to none. The NAACP has endorsed me every time I've run. Come on. Take a look at the record.
Come on, man. Take a look at the record. If you don't vote for me, that's Joe Biden talking to Charlemagne Lagarde, who is black. He said, you don't vote for me, you ain't black. You can't do that. You can't tell a black person you're not black. Biden did. And there's a lot of fallout over it. People scrambling around trying to say, well, what he really meant was exactly what he said. That's what he meant. You ain't black if you don't vote for me. Well, there are a lot of blacks that did not vote for him. And there may be more this time. But let me give you the story on Charlemagne this time around. He is popular, obviously, with black audiences. That's why Biden wanted to go on there, thinking I'll pick up more votes. Well, Charlemagne wasn't really going to give him a full pass. That's good. Politico writing, Charlemagne has told them he has, quote, no plans to throw my support behind Biden's reelection. And I feel burned by backing Harris. The exact quote from Politico, I learned my lesson from doing that. Once they got in the White House, she kind of disappeared. And so did he, but that's what his quote is. He said, I still get blowback right now from my decision to endorse Biden in 2020. But I did it because he picked Harris as his VP nomination. And he said this, and I'm quoting now, as he's quoted in Politico. When I give people my word like, yo, man, I think we should be supporting Kamala Harris for vice president because she's going to hold it down. When we say those things and people don't see her holding it down, that causes issues. Yeah, it does. And then he adds, damn. Opinion. He says, damn, you told us to vote for them. Do you know how many people say that to me all the time? That's Charlemagne Lagarde asking in his interview with Politico. He also added, and this is not a quote, so I'm taking the writing of Politico saying he made these remarks. He thinks Biden is a lousy messenger. I second that. I second that. Put me down on that one also. And he also thinks Biden lacks the basic political skills. And this next line, this is going to blow some heads out there right now. If you're driving, once again, I want to encourage you to pull off to the side of the road or at least keep good control of your vehicle because I don't want you to suddenly lose control. Here's what Politico said, Charlemagne Lagarde said. Biden is a lousy messenger and lacks the basic political skills that former President Donald Trump possesses. Oh, my God. Now, he's not saying he's going to vote for Trump, but he is saying, I'm not voting for Biden again. And he feels bad that he encouraged others to do it. And he did it, said, because he put a black woman on the ticket, which he did challenge him in that interview. Are you going to put away? He said, well, I don't know who, but yeah, there are a lot of them. I'm going to put one on. He's not the first president to say, I will have a black woman as Supreme Court Justice. Ronald Reagan ran on that campaign in part, or any other position. But there's a recent USA Today Suffolk University poll that shows one in five black voters would support a third party candidate in 2024. A third party candidate. The poll showing Biden far behind Trump, the likely Republican nominee, Hispanic and young voters, giving him 39% to 33%, and both of those groups backed Biden in 2020. There goes that support. As I mentioned, Mayorkas is facing an impeachment. Proceedings could start next week. We'll get in that the next hour. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.